The Buddhist tradition tells stories of Kuan Yin. She is the goddess of compassion and mercy. She is revered because of her unconditional love and her compassion for all beings. She is seen as a savior and a protector of all those who are vulnerable and in trouble. She is a bodhisattva, one of those who commits to reaching enlightenment for the good of all beings, someone who is motivated by her compassion. Kuan Yin is depicted in artwork, in sculptures, and in paintings in many different ways. Sometimes she is simply sitting in the lotus position with her legs crossed. Sometimes she is sitting with one leg out in front of her, as if she's ready to spring into action. And sometimes she is depicted with dozens of arms and hands, the thousand arms, as she reflects the reality of the many, many needs in our world. Kuan Yin is motivated by her compassion for the suffering of others. The stories say that her power comes from the good karma that she creates as she helps alleviate the suffering of all beings. As I have learned more about Kuan Yin, I wonder where her strength comes from. I especially wonder this as I notice my own weariness with facing, let alone alleviating, all of the troubles of the world. How does she replenish her well of compassion while she works so hard to alleviate all suffering? What keeps her going? Well, the stories don't answer that question, and so I made up my own answer. And the answer that I came up with is gratitude. I like to imagine Kuan Yin as a goddess whose compassion flows from a pool of gratitude, a pool that she replenishes by noticing the many gifts that are given to her, including her gifts for healing and protection. I imagine a goddess who has the incredible ability to focus on and notice the many gifts that we are given in each moment, and a goddess who draws on the feeling of gratitude to support her work for the benefit of others. Gratitude is one of those things, an emotion and a practice that we're hearing a lot about these days. It's one of the areas where brain researchers and psychologists are turning their attention. Those who study happiness, and yes, happiness is a scientific area of study, those who study happiness tell us that gratitude is the way to be happy. We might think that being happy would lead us to be grateful, and yet what they've found is exactly the opposite. Being grateful leads us to be happy. In addition to creating happiness, gratitude has many other benefits: increased life satisfaction, optimism, hope, less depression and anxiety, and fewer physical complaints. Being grateful can help us find and feel a sense of meaning in our lives. So, what is gratitude exactly? Well, one scholar in the area of gratefulness is Brother David Steindl Rast. He is a Benedictine monk and an interfaith scholar. He has specifically fostered interfaith dialogue between monastic Christians and Buddhists. And his particular area of study is focused on the intersection between spirituality and science. Yes, a Catholic monk. Brother David suggests that gratitude is a reaction we have when two things happen. First, when something that is of value to us, something that is of worth, is given to us as a gift. It's given freely, it's not earned or paid for. We are grateful when something we value is given to us as a gift. We find gifts in nature: a gentle rain, a sunrise, a flower, a beautiful park, We find gifts in other people. Those who clean our streets and who make sure that we have pure water. Those who made coffee this morning. And those who made sure we had a bulletin. All of those who are here to share this time together in this space. We find gifts of life in Sweet William most recently. We find gifts in love. We find gifts of creativity and inspiration. We find gifts in the wonder of each moment we are given. Now, it might be easy to dismiss gratitude as whitewashing or denying all that is difficult in the world, and there is much that is difficult in our world. Gratitude is not putting on rose-colored glasses. It is not ignoring the losses and difficulties and injustices that are real and that do exist and impact our lives. Gratitude is the practice of noticing those difficulties and losses and also noticing that which is good and right, holding both and together. Gratitude is getting filled up again, filling up our pool inside so that we can attend to all that is difficult in the world. Gratitude is an emotion. It's also a value and a virtue. Some, like Brother David, call it a spiritual practice. It is spiritual because it helps us connect to something larger than we are. It helps us find meaning in our lives. And it is how we can put our values to work in the world. And it is a practice because it takes work and it takes intention. Evolutionary psychologists tell us that we are hardwired to notice that which is wrong. Noticing what isn't right, what's different, and potentially dangerous is something that we have evolved to be because it's a survival mechanism. We're evolved to notice what is wrong because it just might save our lives. We're not wired so much to notice that which is right. Psychologist Rick Hansen says that negative experiences stick to our brain like Teflon, and positive experiences slide right off. Oh, I switched them. My husband's giving me the sign. Okay, let me do that again. It's good to have a plant out there, isn't it? And I am grateful for that. So Rick Hansen says, negative experiences stick to our brains like Velcro, and the positive ones slide off like Teflon. So no matter how much we might have, we still feel like we need more. The practice of gratitude helps us remember all that we have been given. Noticing the gifts we have been given and nurturing the feeling of gratitude takes practice. So Brother David teaches that there are three simple steps to gratitude. In fact, you might notice these steps as familiar from when you were learning how to cross a street when you were a kid. The first step is to stop. We get quiet and we focus our awareness. We have to slow down. We can do this by building stop signs into our lives so that we can open ourselves to the possibility of gratitude. There are many different kinds of stop signs that we might build in, like meditation or prayer, for example. But the idea is first we have to stop. The second step is to look. I would call this noticing. We open our eyes and ears and our other senses to all that is around us. We open ourselves to that which is given. We notice what surrounds us in our environment. And we open our hearts to the gifts that our senses might not notice. The gifts of love and care and compassion. We have to be aware and notice. So first we stop, and then we look, and then we go. The third step is to take action, to take that creative leap. This last step of gratitude calls us to do something, with the opportunity and awareness that this precious moment of gratitude has given us. Those who study gratitude find that when we are grateful, we are at peace, we are not fearful, we are generous. When we are grateful, we are filled up, and we feel like we have more to offer the world. Like my story of Kuan Yin, where she takes her moments of gratitude and turns them into care and compassion for those who suffer, we can also turn our gratitude into action that benefits us and the world. It requires intention to build stop signs in our lives so that we can become grateful. I think that our time in worship together on Sunday morning can be one of those stop signs. The word worship means to hold up something of value, to consider those things that are of worth. When we gather on Sunday morning, we stop, or at least we pause and slow down a little bit. We become intentional about setting aside time to notice the things that we value, many of which we have been given to us as gifts. In worship, we can stop and notice, and then go out into the world ready to do the work that we are called to do. The practice of gratitude may not come naturally to everyone. It might come naturally to some. It doesn't come naturally to me. I'm by nature a planner. Those of you who have worked with me know that about me. And so one of my skills is that I'm really good at anticipating what can go wrong and planning for it. So one of my common questions you might know is, what's our plan B? What are we going to do if that doesn't work? And I'm really good at analyzing what might have gone better or what might be better. So while those are wonderful skills, it doesn't help so much in the gratitude department. So I have to be really deliberate about noticing what is good and what is going well. I forget to do this sometimes. Okay, a lot of the time. And so I definitely need stop signs in my life to remind me to stop and notice and be grateful and then go out into the world. So I have one regular stop sign built into my life. My gratitude practice is part of my morning ritual of writing in a journal. I write each morning before the busyness of the day begins. I end each journal entry with at least three things that I am grateful for, and I write them down. One gratitude practitioner suggests that we find three different things each day. I am so grateful for our RE classes and our teachers and the wonderful park that they get to go have a good time in. So I'm just going to see you all on your way out and wish you well outside. So each morning I begin by writing in my journal, and I end with three things I'm grateful for. Now, I have to admit that I don't always come up with three different things. I have some repeats in my journal: my family, my friends, meaningful work, and those of you who know me know that there will be cats in there too. But I do make an effort to notice something new, at least one thing new, each day. I find it usually isn't too hard when I take the time to stop and notice. And I find that that practice gives me a more optimistic outlook. It gets me ready to start the day, and it helps me remember that basically things are pretty okay. Many religious traditions emphasize the practice of thankfulness, sometimes in worship and often through prayers of thanksgiving. Now, this can be a hard thing for Unitarian Universalists who don't believe in a supernatural, non-human deity. Who do you pray to thank for nature? Who do you pray to if you don't believe in God? Mary Oliver offers these words from her poem, A Summer Day. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Stop, look, go. No deity required. Gratitude can be an organizing principle of life, something that we turn to regularly. We begin and end life dependent on the care of others. In between, we have unacknowledged dependency. In our society, there is very little that we do that is not made easier or even made possible by the work and care of others. The latest research in evolutionary psychology suggests that our brains may, in fact, be wired for gratitude. Noticing the gifts of others helps us initiate friendships and form allegiances. Being grateful helps us form community. So it may just be that being grateful is, in fact, the best way for us to survive together. Our lives are full of gifts, large and small, if we but take the time to stop, look, and go. So I'd like to ask you to do our meditation and discussion just a little bit differently today. Do you remember that piece of paper that says, I am grateful for, on it? I'm going to ask you to enter into a time of reflection about what we're grateful for. In a moment, I'll say a few words to begin our meditation. And then after a time of silence, Bryn is going to begin to play the piano, a soft tune of reflection. And while she is playing, I invite you to take some time to write down what you are grateful for on that piece of paper. And when you've written it down, if you would like it to be shared, please come up and put it in the basket. And after the music is ended and everyone is done, I'll take some time to read our gratitude, read the gratitude that we share with each other. So I invite you now into a time of meditation with these words from Paul LaRue. We give thanks for this day and for these people and all the people who have enriched our lives. We give thanks for the gifts of life, with all of its pain and its joy, its struggles and its triumphs. We give thanks for love which created us, which revives us and links us to others in struggle and in joy. We give thanks for eyes to see and ears to hear, the ability to feel and the imagination to see beyond the obvious. We give thanks for the spirit of creativity that inspires and encourages, that brings novelty in the midst of familiarity and risk in the midst of comfort. We give thanks by giving to others in return for all that we have received. And we give thanks in the depths of our souls as we enter this time of silent contemplation. What a beautiful overflowing basket of gratitude. I am grateful for the opportunity to grow and expand my life as a member of this UUFM community. The joy that I feel each day is a direct result of this association, its members, friends, and efforts to do good. I am grateful for the glimmers of wisdom and compassion that I see in my children, the joy I feel when I take time to watch the bees. I am grateful for spring squalls of thunderous rain, followed by blue skies and bright sunshine, the people in my life, the difficult and the easy. I am grateful for sunshine and its warmth, a bird's three-peep, four-whistle call this morning, reflections on and encouragement to live into gratitude, learning about skilled and unskilled ways of living, a family meetings workshop, mama's piano music, stories and words, friendship, chives that winter over to flavor our soup, funny people who make me laugh, kids and kids and kids being in cahoots with one I love. I am grateful for the farmers who grow the abundant fruits and vegetables that delight my tongue. I am grateful for the wonderful artists who create colorful views of our wondrous world. I am grateful for friends, John and Mary Gear, Kim, Jean, how they enrich my life in different ways. This beautiful day after a winter with more than twice the rainfall. Looking out at the park, sunshine, trees, children playing, dogs walking with their owners, tails wagging joyfully, a skateboarder zips through the park, all celebrating this day. I am grateful for Christy's love and respect, the health of my children, and expanding horizons. Thanks, Ken. I am grateful for UUFM. I am grateful for awareness, health, family, well-being, the natural world, possibility, food, friends, community, joy, the present moment, touch, sight, hearing, smell, taste, my cats, that wasn't me, love, forgiveness, compassion, laughter, wonder, courage, and music. I am grateful for UUFM, my health, my family, my friends, sunshine, my garden, my puppy, Mary Gear, joy, springtime, flowers, trees, rain, McMinnville, the Oregon beach, sky, wind, fresh air, open spaces, my creativity, people who are different than me. I am grateful for sunshine, improving health, old and new friends, farmers, books, ice cream, the ocean, travel opportunities, memories, and red geraniums. I am grateful for being able to get up and take nourishment. I am grateful for being able to play music and enjoy the music of others. I am grateful for my wonderful, loving family. I am grateful for the strength of hope and optimism, the kindness of strangers, and sunshine on a spring day. I am grateful for family. I am grateful for the friendships that sustain me, the knowing my place as best I can with the universe. I am grateful for a sunny day, for laughing children, and for the joy of community. I am grateful for family, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, and cousins, and the big extended family of our community. Our animal companions that teach our children empathy, gentleness, kindness, and responsibility. I am grateful for the sun and blue skies, a house that keeps me warm when it's cold and cool when it's hot, a wonderful family, great friends, new business opportunities, good health, nutritious food, a wonderful UUFM community, blossoms in the trees, and music. I am grateful for Saturdays, a rare day of choice, No alarm clocks, scrambling to get ready for something, no meetings, no deadlines, no responsibilities, unless you choose some. I am grateful for the blessing of good health, friends and families, the fellowship, all music, especially classical, all plants, especially flowers, the ability to appreciate so many different things, the curiosity about so much in life, the ability to recognize the good in the world, and hope. I am grateful for the abundance of love in my life, a personal relationship with Spirit that has always made me feel loved and cared for, even in my darkest hours. I am grateful for good health, a sunny day, the love and support of friends and family. I am grateful for number one, morning coffee. Number two, freedom to create something and watch it grow. And three, a husband with the heart to create stories about a loving hen. I am grateful for all there is to learn. This one is a little harder for me to read. Those red suede ankle strap wedgies. And I can't read the first word. Mamie Louise, something like that. Phil and I getting old together. I'll get some clarity later. Friends and strangers, old guys, old ladies like me, and this day. I am grateful for my wonderful husband, our loving son, good health, my late sister's children and theirs, a little intelligence, a sense of humor, friends, UUFM, and overcoming. There is so much to be grateful for in this world. Thank you for sharing your gratitude this morning. As we go forth into this day, may we use these precious moments of gratitude for the good of ourselves and for the good of all.